Our epistle lesson this morning comes from the letter of James. And I'm reading today, beginning in the 12th verse of the third chapter. I added one there, the 12th verse, and reading through the third verse of chapter 4, and then adding verses 7 and 8. Listen to the word of our Lord. Can a fig tree, my brothers and sisters, yield olives, or a grapevine figs? No more can salt water yield fresh. Who is wise and understanding among you? Show by your good life that your works are done with gentleness, born of wisdom. But if you have bitter envy and selfish ambition in your hearts, do not be boastful and false to the truth. Such wisdom does not come down from above, but is earthly, unspiritual, devilish. For where there is envy and selfish ambition, there will also be disorder and wickedness of every kind. But the wisdom from above is first pure, then peaceable, gentle, willing to yield, full of mercy and good fruits, without a trace of partiality or hypocrisy. And a harvest of righteousness is sown at peace for those who make peace. Those conflicts and disputes among you, where do they come from? Do they not come from your cravings that are at war within you? You want something and do not have it, so you commit murder. And you covet something and cannot obtain it, so you engage in disputes and conflicts. You do not have because you do not ask. You ask and do not receive because you ask wrongly in order to spend what you get on your pleasures. Submit yourselves, therefore, to God. Resist the devil, and he will flee from you. Draw near to God, and he will draw near to you. Cleanse your hands, you sinners, and purify your hearts, you double-minded. Sisters and brothers, this is the word of our Lord. Thanks be to God. Wow. Do we all feel rebuked a bit? Perhaps. I do. I don't know about you. This particular section of James is about an admonition to seek wisdom and be wise. This letter is a very instructive letter and gives us lots of information, and it has been a letter with lots of controversy throughout the life of the Protestant and the Catholic Church and Orthodox Church over the years, especially the Protestant Church, where there seems to be places where James says if you just act better, everything will be okay. We take umbrance with that, and I think that is a false reading of this scripture, and especially this passage. Now, I did put in the end of last week's verses, this verse 12, this can a fig tree, my brothers and sisters, yield olives, or a grapevine figs, no more than a salt water can yield fresh. This is the basis of what James is attacking this day. The lead-in to what he is talking about is who we are is revealed in what we do, and what we do is who we are. While this sometimes talks about works instead of faith, which is where the Protestant issue comes in, the fact is he tells us, and I think rightfully so, they are so interlinked that you cannot separate one from the other. We cannot be evil inside of us and do good works that are truly good works. It's just not possible. No more than a fig tree can yield olives. Who we are, basically, inside spiritually, where we reside in our life with God, is the fruit that we produce in the world around us. There are important questions. Why this particular verses, and why is he asking these questions? And they are, I would say to you, diagnostics. They are tests. Why test? Well, that's a great question. We have about 10 students in here. I know you ask this probably every time an exam is given. Why do we have to take tests? Is it to prove to the professor that we know what we're supposed to know? Professors who are also in this room this day would say there are tests so that we know they are actually learning what they're supposed to be learning, that there is a change in the knowledge that they are having by experiencing this class, and I need to know how much they are gaining and how they are improving in this knowledge. This is a part of our education system and has been a part of it for as long as there has been an education system. Why then should we not take tests daily regarding our own spiritual lives? Why should we not test ourselves to try to understand where we are in our standing with God? This is what James is asking us to do around these verses, is to ask these questions, to look inwardly to who we are in our relationship with God. And in these verses and the surrounding verses, three questions are posed that are both diagnostic, and the last one is also prescriptive. So having been to a doctor this past week, I can tell you I understand that a lot. The tests that get run on you, the questions that are asked of you, the answers that are given, the medication and the treatments come therefore from that. We are used to that in the medical field. Why should we not be used to that in our own daily lives? Why do we have to ask these questions of ourselves? Because it is how we understand where we stand with God and how we need to improve in that relationship and lead a life that produces good fruits. The first question, who is wise and has understanding among us? The one who is first pure, then peaceable, gentle, willing to yield, full of mercy and good fruits, without a trace of partiality or hypocrisy. And I know when I read that, all of you go, yep, that's me. Every morning when I roll out of bed, that's what I think of. Peaceable, gentle, willing to yield, and full of mercy and good fruits. That's me. Maybe not so much. At least it's not me. I wake up every morning not feeling gentle or willing to yield or full of mercy at all. I usually go, oh no, it's another day. What am I going to get into today? Who indeed matches the answer to this question is, are you first pure and then peaceable and gentle, willing to yield, full of mercy and good fruits, without a trace of partiality or hypocrisy? I dare say that if you are like I am and you search your memory, you will come up with names of people that you have experienced in your lifetime that indeed were most of these things, if not all of these things. The saints of the church, we might say, while in the Protestant faith we don't put saints on the walls, we don't beatify someone technically, but there are people that we have known in the past that live that style of life and distribute and show it day by day. They exhibit it in their daily lives. These words that they would give to this is just living life and being nice and kind and helpful in the world. Think about who you have known that fits this. And how well do you meet this test of who we are called to be? The second question that comes to it is about conflicts and disputes among us. If you have bitter envy and selfish ambition in your hearts, do not be boastful and false to the truth. Such wisdom does not come from above, but is earthly, unspiritual, devilish. For there is envy and selfish ambition, there will also be disorder and wickedness of every kind. The author is telling us if we are covetous of things, if we are looking for things, if we have envy and selfish ambition and we look to what others have and say, I need that, I want that, I want that person's position, I want to be thought of in the way that person is thought of, I want to be seen as a force in this community, I want to be seen as a leader in the church, I want to be seen this way, that's an issue. That is an issue of covetousness. It's a tough one because honestly, we live in a society today that teaches us that's exactly what we are supposed to be. It urges us to break the tenth commandment almost constantly. And if you don't believe me, go home today after church, eat your lunch, turn on your TV to whatever you want to watch, and watch you get barraged by commercial after commercial after commercial and TV show after TV show that tells you you need to be something else than somebody else is. You need to have a better car. You need to have a bigger house. You need to have 2.3 children, one male, one female. The 2.3 you can do whatever you want with. You need to live like this. And if you are not, you are failing. And trust me, I lived in the market of advertising for a while. I did it. Every word, every picture, every sound that you see in any advertisement is specifically pointed to make you feel bad about who you are today and who you ought to be tomorrow if you'll just buy their product. If you buy their cosmetics, if you buy their food, if you buy their cars, anything that you do will make you a better person. You'll feel better. You'll be more respected. You will have the life you've always longed for. James tells us that is patently wrong. That is not where you find good things in life. It is a road that takes you to constant and complete inability to be happy and to dwell with God. And today, they even have a way into your very bedroom with the cell phones that we have, the smartphones. And if you ever click onto a piece of a news item or something and you get 47 ads that are specifically dealing with whatever was in that news item, then you understand how the world is set to change you into a covetous person. We must be careful about this. As Christians, we cannot fall prey to this trap. It sends us down a road that we cannot drive on. For it drives us to the earthly, the unspiritual, and the devilish, and not a happy life of God. Our third question comes as from the deductions and the statements in the verse 3:15 and verses 4-1-3, such wisdom does not come down from above, but is earthly, unspiritual, and devilish. Those conflicts and disputes among you, where do they come from? Do they not come from your cravings that are at war within you? You want something and do not have it, so you commit murder, and you covet something and cannot obtain it. So you engage in disputes and conflicts. You do not have because you do not ask. You ask and do not receive because you ask wrongly in order to spend what you get on your pleasures. All of these are the result of seeking after earthly pleasures and earthly things. Is living a life directed toward that leads you to a place that you can do nothing with except be at war with God. What we really should be seeking, we hear from God. We really should be seeking God's wisdom in all of this, not the wisdom of advertising, not the joy of life that is the American dream. What we should be seeking is to be closer and closer to God. Not asking, what do I want? But asking what God wants. And pursuing that. So often, I see people in the church who use this as a proof that their acrimony and the disputes and the divisions they cause, that all of that is justified because it is what God wants. And yet James tells us that our actions that are driven by God are first pure, then peaceable, gentle, willing to yield, full of mercy and good fruits, without a trace of partiality or hypocrisy. Does that sound like creating a dispute amongst the church? Perhaps even splitting a church? I think not. But if we pursue these things in this way, then we are working toward God. Now, the first two questions that we talked about are very diagnostic questions. How are we? Just like a COVID test or a strep throat test, which is really almost as fun as a COVID test. They just stick it down another hole in your head. Trust me, I got to do that this week too. But tests are necessary for us to figure out where we are and where to go. This question three, as I said, is both diagnostic and prescriptive. It tells us where we are, but then tells us where we should be going. Just like going to the doctor and having a test and finding out you're sick and then finding the medicine, the exact right medicine that you need to cure with what is hurting you now. Our primary identity, our worth, our wisdom in life is measured by our closeness to God rather than the possessions we accumulate and the worldly accolades, titles, and statuses that we achieve. Too often we think that getting our way is how we win in life. Rather, we win by following God's way. And then people always ask this question, well, how am I supposed to know what God's way is? I even had a Presbyterian minister look at me one day, who can know what God really wants? I almost fainted. And I answered with this question, which he did not expect. I think he thought it was a rhetorical question, and I see it not as a rhetorical question, but exactly the question that we must answer every single day of our lives, every minute of our lives. What is it God wants us to be and do? So let me ask you a question. Those of you who are here with a spouse, or significant other, or friends, your kids, perhaps. How do you know what they care about? Your spouse is right beside you. Look at them. Do you know what they care about? My wife's looking at me, so she doesn't have to look this way. She can look at me. What do they care about? How do you know what they care about? You pay attention to them. You listen to them. And I do listen, dear. Occasionally, anyway. You pay attention and you listen and you respond and you have interaction. You communicate in all the ways that God has given us to communicate one with the other. And likewise, God has given us the opportunity to commune with Him as well. How are we to know what God wants? How to work on the things of God? How about spending time with God? There's a real brainiac thing to do. If you want to know your children, spend a little time with them. If you want to know your spouse, spend some time with them. If you want to know God, spend time with God. Now let me give you a little another test. If you spent 1 hour a week kind of listening to your spouse, what kind of marriage do you think you would have? If coming to church on Sunday is your one time to spend time with God, that's the relationship you will have there as well. How are you to know, how are we to know what God wants? How do we work for the things of God? We first have to build our lives spending time with God constantly. Brothers and sisters, I urge you, test yourself with these verses, the diagnostic verses throughout scriptures. Test yourselves regularly. Read them. Hold yourself accountable. Look, am I doing that? Where am I falling off? Find out how you are doing in life. Are you acting wisely? Or are you trying to twist God so you can get what you really want without having to give up anything else? Hold up your prayers against what you think, really, and how you live your life. Lift up your thoughts of God and who you want God to be with you. Scripture begs us to look closely at what motivates us every minute of every day. James is saying, look at that. God is saying, look at that. And honestly answer the questions that are there. Brothers and sisters, for in this and this alone we grow into the body of the Father and the Son and the Holy Spirit. Thanks be to God. Amen.